It's Marketplace Tech for Monday, December 21st. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. A few days ago, Congress passed a $1.1 trillion spending bill that will prevent a shutdown and keep the federal government open. Tucked inside was another piece of legislation called the Cybersecurity Information Sharing Act. It has privacy advocates worried about the way the government gets user data from companies. It's supposed to help defend against hacks, but it might also be a loophole for increasing surveillance. Marketplace senior tech correspondent Molly Wood has been looking at this for us. Molly, what's CISA designed to do?
Yeah, so CISA, as you know, basically lets companies share personal information that they're storing about you with law enforcement agencies, so FBI, CIA, NSA. And what they get as an incentive or in return is immunity from prosecution if they are to be the victims of a big cybersecurity breach. And so the bill's been super controversial. There were some amendments that were sort of sneaked in the Senate version of the bill that passed that would restore some protections for consumers. But the version of this bill that went into the budget bill took out those provisions. And yeah, exactly. They sort of quietly disappeared. It ended up in this budget bill. And because it's part of the budget deal, it's essentially done. It's a done deal now.
Some similar legislation has been pushed back against hard by tech companies. Can you talk a little bit about what tech companies did this time around, if anything, or kind of their position in this piece of legislation?
Yeah, to me, that's the most interesting part of this, because tech companies have publicly said that they opposed this act, that they thought that it would lead to surveillance of their customers, that it wasn't good for their business. But in the past, when there's been a really big, really controversial bill that would invade consumer privacy, they rallied, and those bills went down hard. SOPA is a recent example. You can remember everybody changing their Twitter bio pictures to the Stop SOPA. That didn't happen here. And I actually suspect, if I were to speculate, that what companies know is that CISA offers them protection. This bill offers them protection for sharing this information, protection against prosecution, some immunity if they're hacked. And I just had the feeling that they didn't fight against this as hard as they maybe could have.
Marketplace's senior tech correspondent, Molly Wood. Molly, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Ben.
Marketplace Tech is listener-supported. To keep our coverage relevant and awesome, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift in any amount counts twice, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. I'm a pretty relaxed guy, but in my morning New York commute, it can be hard for me to be patient with people who walk and text at the same time. Many of us do it, including yours truly, even if we try not to. And a recent study out from Stony Brook University says that texting while walking can actually be very dangerous. Professor Lisa Muratori is a co-author. Lisa, how bad is the walking ability of someone who is texting at the same time?
Yeah, very bad. Surprisingly bad. So they were bad when they were talking on their phone, usually kind of overshooting the target. So they would be engaged in their conversation. They'd go right past the target and they'd be like, oh yeah, that's, we were supposed to stop, and they would forget. But then when we put them on texting, they not only couldn't find the target, as in they either went way too slow and they never got to the target, or they went way past the target, but they weren't even going in the right direction, which again was straight ahead of them. So they would veer off to the one side or the other, or they would go back and forth while they were texting and answering the questions on their cell phone while they were supposed to be walking straight ahead. So they were particularly bad when they were texting and walking.
What else does this tell us about how these devices are changing the way that we behave and what we should be thinking about when we're talking about it being problematic?
Well, I think there's two things. One of the things that was surprising to us in our data was that we spoke to, before we revealed what the errors were to our participants, we asked them how they thought they did. And all of them thought they did really well. So it's not only that they were missing the target, but they had no perception that they were missing the target. So they thought that they were able to do it. The second thing that we've sort of been focusing on is the translation of what does this mean in the real world? Because again, we were in a lab. So if you don't have a perception that you can't do it and you're doing it so often, then the chances are of an injury are just going to be going up and up and up as you see this creeping into all different age groups. So it's creeping lower. So we've got young people. We're looking at kids right now in our lab as young as 4 years old. And it's certainly creeping upwards. So certainly older and older people are doing it. And we're actually seeing patients who are coming in with falls and injuries while they're using their phones. So I think it's two things. One is the poor ability of people to estimate how dangerous this might actually be to be walking and using their phone. And two, the exponential increase in who's using the phones.
Dr. Lisa Muratori is professor at Stony Brook University. Dr. Muratori, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We've been playing you some stories around Marketplace Tech's new Codebreaker podcast. The most recent episode is about going viral. And we recently spoke with wedding photographer Gavin Holt, who along with his wife Judy made a spooky baby announcement video that went viral on the website Reddit. Here's Holt talking about what happened after their video blew up on the internet and the licensing challenges that followed.
The funny thing is, within an hour of me posting on Reddit, I had maybe about 25, 30 upvotes, nothing too crazy. But Break.com actually called me up and said, yeah, we want to purchase the content. They want to buy the video. And I said, well, I've already put 40 hours into this, and it's kind of for my baby, you know. I'm a baby girl now that we know. And I'm not selling it, but they wanted to license it. And that's when the whole idea of licensing came to mind. And then I started to realize it's not just for making money. It's to prevent other people from making money off of it. We had to protect the content because if we didn't monetize it, someone else was going to do it.
Gavin Holt there. Hear a lot more stories about going viral, the ripple effects, good and bad, at the website codebreaker.codes. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.